today. Hope is hopeful, right? We're talking about here in this Advent season, faith, hope, and love. But not all people look on hope as hopeful. It sounds a little ironic, but let's go to the world's experts on hope. These are philosophers. Nietzsche said, "Hope in reality is the worst of all evils because it prolongs the torments of man." Not so hopeful about hope. How about Aristotle? We'll take it back a tick. "Youth is easily deceived because it is quick to hope." How about Epictetus, taking it back even further to a Greek philosopher? "Neither should a ship rely on one small anchor, nor should life rest on a single hope." Oops. According to these worldly philosophers, these experts in thought and thinking, there's not really a whole lot of hope in hope. But we who are in Christ Jesus, who do have a single hope, especially as we remember it here in the season of Advent, in the coming of Christ, well, we're going to go with a theologian instead of a philosopher. But first, let's pray. God, we breathe you in deeply and thank you for this, the Sabbath, the day where we ascribe to you worth and glory and honor, and you so deserve it. And so, God, we pray in our time together that you would be glorified and honored in our hearing and receiving of your word. Touch us with these words. Teach us with these words. At places in our lives where we have erred, correct and reprove us with these words. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Perhaps the greatest theologian, sans Jesus, of course, was the Apostle Paul. And in Titus, the Apostle Paul talks about the hopefulness of hope. We heard read for us by Kathy, verses 11 through 14. And so this is a blessed hope indeed that we are recalling during this season of Advent. Preparation. Preparation for the second coming of Christ. Paul begins this teaching with verse 11 by saying, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." The verb is past tense. This is already completed action. And we know, as we celebrate Advent and remember the first coming of Jesus, that Paul is talking about the incarnation. That is, where God stepped into our humanity, time and place, and became human. God with us, the Emmanuel. And this Emmanuel, God with us, through the incarnation, God offers salvation. And this is denoting the work of Jesus Christ. Namely, his life as he lived and taught, his death as he suffered on a cross, and his resurrection as he overcame death once and for all, making a way for us to be forgiven of our sins, that is the enmity between us and God, the wall, sin, and God broke down that wall of sin. And this is to all people, to all who believe and receive that Jesus is who he said he was and did what he said he did. This is the story of Advent. This is the story of the coming of Christ. As we remember it, this is the story of Christmas, this babe born in a manger. Isaiah 42 is a messianic text, a text which speaks of the Messiah. And in Matthew 12, Matthew quotes this text as he remembers the birth of Jesus. But Isaiah, thousands of years before Matthew, prophesied, "Here is my servant whom I have chosen." Speaking the words of the Lord, Isaiah says to the people in a prophetic word, this is how the Messiah will come, and this is who the Messiah will be. This is the one I love, in whom I delight. Now, you might think to yourself, these words sound familiar to me. I hope. But as we're going to celebrate baptism today, Jesus also celebrated baptism, being baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. And do you remember what the Lord said? As the voice came from heaven and the Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove, what did God say? The audible words of God which the people heard, "This is my Son, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased." Almost a direct quote of Isaiah 42. A prophecy fulfilled. Isaiah continues, "I will put my Spirit on him." Did God do this at baptism? I wonder. "And he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed will not break. A smoldering wick will not snuff out. Till he has brought justice through to victory." And I would argue that the death of Christ on the cross was that work. Finally, we are made just before God because Christ died for our sins. "And in his name," says the prophet, "the nations will put their," are you with me? Hope. In this one hope, we put our trust and our faith. And then in verse 12, Paul continues with his theology of hope. Paul would say, unlike Epictetus, that yes, our hope rests on a single person. This person happens to be God incarnate. And so then, this grace that has come in the person of Jesus teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. No means no to that stuff, those thoughts, our attitudes, or actions that are against God. That's ungodliness. It's not really rocket surgery when you boil it down. Yes, I mixed metaphors. You're with me, right? That was for your benefit. You're welcome. It's a bonus. You don't pay for it today. Yeah, this is the gift of the first coming, that we are empowered now by Jesus Christ to live lives that are of godly Christian conduct in the kingdom that has already come. Jesus inaugurated, ushered in the kingdom of God in his birth. And now we live in that in-between time where the kingdom has come already, but is not yet fulfilled. This is the hope that we live in between, the already coming king and the to-come king, the king that came in grace in the manger and the king that will come in glory when the trumpets resound and the angel armies accompany him. This verse, verse 12, along with verse 14, sandwiches verse 13 to encourage godly living. So I'm going to skip 13 and get back to it. So I'm going to deal with the bread first and then get to the PB&J. That's what I eat for lunch. One side of the bread teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, while verse 14, this one who came in grace gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. You see it quite clearly now that I've pointed it out, don't you? These two pieces of bread, Paul's saying the same thing. It is through the person and work of Jesus Christ, which began in the manger in the incarnation, that now is by the power of the Spirit, God in us, God with us, Emmanuel, that we live lives that honor and glorify him. This is why I have argued that the Christian life should look different than the worldly life. This is why we put our effort into living out our spiritual formation or discipleship or walk with Christ or whatever you want to name it. Because we have the power of the hope that is in Jesus, and there is no greater hope. Verse 13 then, the meat, if you will, my peanut butter and jelly. We live these godly lives apart from ungodliness while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we wait in this space, in the in-between. The kingdom come already and the kingdom not yet fulfilled. This space empowered by the Holy Spirit. This space that looks back on the first coming of Christ in the manger and looks forward with great expectation and hope to his second coming. This is that blessed hope, the second coming of Christ. So Advent is a gift twofold. The remembrance of the first coming of God in grace in a manger, while we wait in expectation of the God who comes in glory from the clouds. Waiting on hope. This isn't always easy, is it? Waiting in the in-between time, the already but not yet. Maybe you can relate with me. As a duck hunter, I know what waiting is about. Have any of you hunted ducks? So basically, you go out at dark 30. Jeff Pilger and I went out for the whole day yesterday. It's kind of unusual, but we got up at 3, whatever it was, in the morning, met at my house at 4 a.m., drove down to Patterson, waited, drove in, tried to launch the boat, but it was icy, left the boat, schlepped the decoys on our shoulders out to the point, set up the decoys, put our chairs right there in the water, in the reeds and in the tules, and waited. Hoping, expecting, deeply desiring. Where are those ducks? It was about 2 in the afternoon, and we were cold, and we were tired, and Jeff says to me, I'm sitting in water that is almost frozen, and it started to rain. And he says, I'm sitting in water that's almost frozen, and it's raining. And I said, isn't it grand? Now we're duck hunting. And he says, with a huge smile, it's all part of the experience, Steve. That's hope. That's living into hope. I feel like sometimes as Christians, we're sitting in that blind, and it's cold, and it's dark, and we know that at any moment, things can change. Just in the snap of the fingers, a duck or a goose might fly over. Ah, how glorious. Or land in your spread, even better. And we wait as Christians. God, where are you? My neck is stiff from looking up. Our necks should get stiff as Christians from looking up. God, where are you? Our blessed hope. You're coming, and you're coming soon. Body of Christ, Christian friends, this is our hope that we remember at Advent. And we wait. Yes, we would like to say patiently, but it's not always. Sometimes it's just waiting. So what will you do while you wait? What will you do with this hope? I think the Apostle Peter has a great encouragement for us. Apostle Peter was one of Jesus' best friends, and he knows what it means to hope. And in 1 Peter 3, may this be our application of this text today. Peter reminds the church, and we here too today, in this moment, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, are reminded, yes, hopefully audibly as we hear these words, but more importantly, within our hearts spiritually, may you hear these words. Do not be frightened. As you wait in the world that's cold and dark and wet, do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Because is he not Lord? He is our Lord. He's our Savior. He's the King of Kings. And so revere him as such. And then always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the, with me, hope that you have. May this Advent, we desire, may we pray, God, give us opportunity and then courage and strength to give a reason for our hope in Jesus Christ. For that hope is indeed hopeful. Amen. Please stand now as we sing together.